Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob Duay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's fun to be with you here on this muggy August day, and we're in studio going through Colossians chapter 1. I know we had left off last time in verse 22.
Where it says it will be presented before him blameless.
That's right. And how beautiful is that? We who had done evil are now blameless before him. And he continues in verse 23 now with a conditional clause. He says, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So here, our blamelessness, if that were a term, and our being beyond reproach is conditioned on continuing in the faith. But you and I had a little bit of a conversation prior to the program. We were talking about that conditional.
Yes.
And we both had concluded that that's probably a first-class conditional, which
right.
often is used for something like, for instance, Paul will say, for the sake of argument, assume this to be true. And in fact, he does expect them to continue in the faith. And that's kind of what you had come to as your conclusion.
Yes, as we look at the Greek here, there's ways of determining these things.
Right.
Both from how the words are used.
Yeah.
Here we have if with a present active indicative.
That's right.
And that generally denotes a first class conditional.
Yep.
And since there's no RAA argument, which would be reductio ad absurdum.
Right.
Where you assume a premise to show that it leads to an absurd conclusion.
That's right.
We don't have that here.
Right, right.
So we have something that the author, Paul, assumes to be true.
Yeah.
If as is the case.
Right, right.
So he believes that Christians will indeed continue in the faith.
Amen. That's right.
So this isn't here to express doubt or to get us to think, well, maybe I won't make it.
Right, right.
Maybe I never really will be presented blameless
right.
before the throne.
Yeah, amen.
But this is a condition, but it's one that's expected to be fulfilled.
Amen. That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, so this is a good way to understand the perseverance of the saints.
Yeah.
It's expressed in a conditional, so we don't get the idea, well, I can go live for the devil and I'll still be presented blameless.
That's right. That's right.
For one thing, if you're regenerate, why do you want to live for the devil?
Right. Good point.
One of the signs of regeneration is a desire for holiness.
Amen. Well said. You know, Jesus had said in John 8:31, he said, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And so that's what Paul is wanting from the Colossian Christians, is that they would continue to believe in the gospel that they had once believed and not go for the false doctrines that this movement had been advocating, which would be to find protection from these demonic beings through the worship of angels and through different aesthetic practices.
Religious practices gleaned
right.
from the culture.
Amen. That's right.
And so where it says, if indeed you continue in the faith, does not express doubt, but a condition, but one that's expected to be met.
Yeah. You know, Bob, it's funny as you say that. You know what comes to my mind is a passage you had taught us once in Hebrews 6, where there's all these warnings about not going into apostasy.
Yes.
And about continuing. And the writer of Hebrews, I think it's in Hebrews 6:9, he says, but we expect better things of you, brethren, things that accompany salvation.
Yes.
So here he had given warnings, but yet he assumed, the writer of Hebrews did, that true believers will heed the warnings.
Amen.
Well, you preached this one time, and I remember you gave an analogy, and I want you to do it again if you would. It was an analogy of a warning in an elevator shaft.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do that for the list. I think that's very helpful.
Well, my analogy was that in this tall building, there's an abandoned, empty elevator shaft, and there is a sign at the door to the shaft saying, do not enter. If you do, you will certainly die. Because right. you'd fall to your death.
Right, right.
Well, for the sake of our analogy,
yeah.
the whole history of that being there, no one ever entered and died.
Right.
Is the warning still valid?
Right, great point.
And my answer is yes, it is.
That's right. It had its
God
effect.
God uses the warnings in the Bible. In that case, the sign was effective. Nobody went in.
Right. That is okay. beautiful. Yeah.
So when I've debated with Arminians about this,
yeah.
because some of them want to believe that people are going to lose their salvation.
Right.
And that if you think you're going to lose your salvation, that's a good thing.
Right. Yes.
Because somehow that'll make you holy.
Holy, right, right.
But really what it does is make people feel hopeless.
That's right.
But I said to these people who wanted to debate me, if God uses the warning to save his own saints from apostasy, it doesn't mean the warning's not valid.
That's right. It's a real warning. It really is.
I saw something like that in real life in the year 2000. I was out in Hawaii
yeah.
to teach Romans at a Bible college for oh, a week.
Okay.
And one day we got a chance to do a little drive around the big island there where we were.
Yeah.
And clear across the other side of the island, there's a park. And this is where some of the steepest cliffs down into the ocean are that you've ever seen.
Right.
Now, in Minnesota, we'd have a 20-foot high fence and, you know,
yeah.
nobody would take a chance.
Right, right.
Well, in Hawaii, they're a little more laid back.
Yeah.
There was just a sign saying, beware of cliff.
Sure.
You know, danger or whatever.
Right, right.
And so I thought, well, I want to see what this looks like.
Yeah.
So I walked right up to the edge.
Yeah.
No fence.
Wow.
Just a sign. I looked down. Down, 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 down.
Oh, my.
One more step and I would have died.
Wow. Yeah.
I thought, oh, my.
Yeah.
I think the sign is serious.
Yeah, exactly.
So I backed up a little bit. I don't want to get a picture of it even. I'm just
right,
staying
right.
away from it.
Sure.
I don't know if anybody ever fell off of there.
Right.
But the sign was your warning.
That's right. You know, great point, Bob. And you know, that's one of the key distinctions I like to make between what's often termed eternal security and the perseverance of the saints. And
yes.
eternal security is certainly true. True believers are eternally secure. But the reason why perseverance of the saints is perhaps a better way of saying it is because true believers do remain within the doctrines of Christ. They don't depart from it ultimately and forever. And one example of the opposite would be seen, for example, in 2 Peter, where Peter is talking about warnings also for believers. And he expects that believers will adhere to his warnings about not falling into apostasy. But listen to what he says about these who don't belong to Christ, that would be unbelievers. He says, for, and he's talking about the risk of apostasy. This is 2 Peter 2, 21 and 22. He says, for it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the proverb. Here's Proverbs 26:11. A dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in its mire. And the reason why I think that that's such an effective way of putting it, that proverb says, hey, a dog will do what a dog does.
Yep.
They go back to their own vomit. And a dog, of course, to the Jews is an unclean animal. The same thing with a sow.
Yeah, there are people that go out from us.
Yeah.
Who in 1 John says they were not really of us.
Exactly.
So when I wrote about this some years ago, and you can find the article on apostasy in cicministry.org.
Right.
I said there's two things. One, those who appear to be Christians, who give mental assent.
Yeah.
And may have participated in baptism and everything in the church.
Right.
But in fact, are not truly regenerate.
Right.
Those are the ones Peter is addressing.
Yeah. Amen.
The sow going back into the mud hole, that's the nature of the sow.
That's right. That's what they do.
But the truly converted yeah. are the ones who, when they hear and see the warning, they heed it
yeah.
And they flee from wickedness.
Right.
And they flee to Christ.
Amen.
And they persevere. Now, the difference between that and a crass version of once saved, always saved.
Yeah.
Is a lot of times people have a dumbed down version of conversion.
Right.
Saved meaning I said a prayer after somebody.
Right.
Say this prayer. Okay, I said it.
Yeah.
All right, you're saved.
That's right.
And then maybe they're not really converted.
Right, right.
And they're thinking they're eternally secure, even if they live in the mud hole like that proverbial sow.
Exactly.
Okay?
That's right.
That's a crass version, and it's not biblical.
Right, amen.
The That's perseverance right. of the saints means that those whom are the Lord's,
yeah,
the truly converted, the true sheep, are ones who will remain in that condition through the means that God's provided.
Amen.
That's now, right. verses like the one we're studying,
yeah.
Colossians 1:23, are God's means, God's warning, that we need to take to heart,
yeah.
lest we are the sows with false assurance.
Right. Well said.
Okay, so
yeah.
if you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel.
Right.
So we see a synonymously parallel thing here going on. In the faith yeah. is synonymously parallel with the hope of the gospel.
Amen.
Okay. That's right. And if the hope of the gospel is not being preached and taught
yeah.
and presented to the flock, then we are doing damage to them.
That's right.
And are really not promoting the faith once for all delivered to the saints.
Amen. I know you'd pointed out in your sermon that the faith there with the definite article has to do not just with some subjective belief, but really with the objective doctrines of the gospel that was given by apostolic proclamation.
Exactly. The faith has doctrinal content.
Exactly.
Okay. So some Christians say, well, I don't go to church to hear doctrine. I don't want a doctrine.
Right.
I want something practical.
Yeah.
So then give me a how-to sermon to make life a little easier.
Right.
Well, they're showing that there's something deficient in their idea of the gospel.
Yes, amen.
Because the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? To even know who Jesus Christ is, because there are many Christs out there.
Right.
And the term Jesus applies to other beings.
Yes.
Okay. We need to have a doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
And if we're going to plug our ears and say, I don't want doctrine.
Right.
Well, then we're saying we don't want the gospel.
Yeah. Amen. Well said. Yeah. Like you pointed out, Bob, everyone has doctrine. And if our doctrine is that we don't want to hear Christian doctrine or biblical doctrine,
yeah.
what we really want are the doctrines of the world. There will be doctrine taught. It's whether it's from Christ
oh, yeah.
and according to his scripture, from the Spirit, or is it according to the doctrines of men and the commandments of men, when they end up nullifying the Word of God. So, yeah, well said.
Well, the Mormons have a Christ.
Yes.
But it's not the Christ of the Bible.
Amen.
And, dear saints, if you don't want to hear doctrine, you're not going to be protected against the Mormons when they come by.
Right. Amen.
Because you can't even identify which Christ you're serving.
Right.
And if you can, then lo and behold, you do have doctrine.
Yes. Amen.
So don't complain about it.
That's right.
I would complain if the pastor refuses to teach doctrine.
Well said.
Because then he's not feeding the flock.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. Yeah. So you continue in the faith. Implied, we know what the faith is.
Right.
It's part and parcel of our worldview.
Yeah.
Of our hearts and minds.
Right.
Because you can't continue in what you don't even know.
Amen. Well said. That's
you
yeah.
can't just vaguely be Christian because you were baptized as a baby
yeah.
in some denomination.
Right, right.
And you show up now and again.
Yeah.
That's very not the faith.
You know, Bob, I was thinking about that word there, continue, the epimeno. A meno often is used for remain, and then they
yeah,
just...
Yeah, stay put.
Yeah, stay put. That's a very good rendering of it. And You know what it brings up in my mind is when Jesus says in John 15 that he is the true vine, and those who remain in him will bear much fruit. But apart from being in Christ, then you don't bear fruit. You're cut off, as it were, by the vine dresser, and you're thrown away. And so the idea of remaining, the wonderful picture is to think about remaining in Christ, his doctrines not exceeding that which is written, because that which is written comes from Christ. And so holding to doctrinal fidelity is very important, because we always act on what we really believe. Doctrine and deeds in the scripture go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness, Genesis 15:6. He acts upon that in Genesis 22. And so here you have Abraham, because he really believes Messiah is going to come from his son, and that God has established his son, Isaac, to bring messianic salvation. He acts on it, and he's willing to obey God. And so we see the same thing then, when it's the idea of continuing is the idea that we continue in the faith in both doctrine and deed. Always doctrine first. We always act on what we first believe.
Oh, yes, that's very important.
Yeah.
I have run into people who get really confused about this.
Yeah.
One time, 7 or 8 years ago, a lady came to talk to a couple of us.
Yeah.
And said, well, I'm not going to go to your church anymore. And we asked why.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that Jesus still talks to us, and you're saying scripture alone.
Wow.
And all you got is your Bible, but I hear right from God.
Oh.
And so then I started challenging that idea.
Yeah.
So these words you get from God, are they binding and authoritative?
Yeah.
Are you a sinner if you don't follow them?
Right.
Aren't you being driven about by impulses?
Right.
That may or may not be from God?
Yeah.
And so we had that discussion, and she was saying, well, I'm not saying it's words, I just get impressions. Mm. And so, well, give me an example.
Yeah.
Well, one time I got this impression that I was supposed to do this or say that, and I didn't do it, and then everything went bad and my life went down the tubes, and so I should have done it. I said, well, tell me what you were supposed to do. And she said explicitly, I said, well, what you just said to me are words, ideas, and concepts.
Yeah, right.
You call it impression, but it only comes to you in the form of words, ideas, and concepts.
That's right.
You can't act on something that's meaningless.
Right. Great point.
So you have false categories.
Yeah, that's right.
So Abraham believed God. Well, he knew who God was.
Amen.
As the true God, Yahweh.
Yes.
Compared to the many false idols
Amen.
In the world.
That's right.
So, dear listeners, don't listen to these false teachers.
Yeah, that's right.
Who think that they have something higher than the actual words of God.
That's right.
Because their ideas come in words too.
Yeah.
Because as humans created in God's image, we're not people or beings of instinct. We're rational.
Yeah.
And we believe words, ideas,
right.
instructions, things that can be tested for validity
Amen.
Against the scripture.
It's funny, as you say that, Bob, I was thinking of in Jude, the false teachers, those who were given over to licentiousness, and in 2 Peter, who denied the second coming of Christ, they were known to be unreasoning beasts, as Jude
said. Which is bad.
Which is bad, right? Because they were trying to rely upon instinct rather than reason. That's never a good idea.
Well, humans can't survive that way.
We can't.
That's why we die in the out in the woods,
yes,
eventually,
right,
without any help.
Yeah.
And animals can live out there permanently as long as the animals live.
Yeah, that's well
said. We can't do that.
Yeah.
And so people are effectively denying being created in God's image. So we have the Bible, we have words with meaning that are instructing us,
yeah,
and these make up the faith once for all delivered to the saints.
Yes.
Now it says here, now there's three words. You mentioned that one, epimeno.
Yeah.
To stay put,
right.
Only intensified.
Yeah.
And then there's one, having been founded. Hmm. Okay. And then stable. Staying put, founded, and stable.
Yes.
Now, dear saints, if you're going to be founded and stable and stay put.
Right.
You have to be taught the faith once for all delivered to the saints.
Right.
Which is the hope of the gospel.
Amen. Well said.
And so these things are specific. They're defined. They have boundaries.
Yes.
They're not some undescribed, undefined, numinous, we talked about that in an earlier broadcast,
yeah,
or some spiritual experience with multiple possible meanings.
Right, right.
That's not what Paul's talking about.
That's right.
That may be what people want.
Yep.
And some people say, well, it's better felt than tilt.
Yeah.
No, because you don't know what you're feeling.
That's right. It's subjective then.
You can have a religious feeling based on anything.
That's right. Yeah.
But it's not the faith and it's not the gospel.
Amen.
So we're grounded and we continue in the faith.
Amen. Now, Bob, when it says the continue in the faith firmly established, or I think your version says founded, you had mentioned that we have a perfect passive participle. And the question I have,
yes,
for you is, did you see that as a divine passive then, that we had been established by God?
Yes, I think it's clear from the context.
Sure, sure. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is a perfect passive participle.
So there we see the power of God put right next to human responsibility, don't we?
That, yeah,
God
founded and grounded by God in the gospel.
Wow.
And then it says not moved about. So then it's expressed in the negative.
Right.
Not shifting about, not shifting from the truth, not unstable, going from here to there to somewhere else.
Wow.
And boy, that happens to so many people.
Yes.
They start listening to these false teachers,
right,
false apostles, false prophets. They go around the world trying to go to meetings, hoping to get under some portal of glory.
Yeah.
You heard that one?
Yeah, that's right.
It's unstable.
Wow.
Utterly unstable.
Wow.
The true gospel will never make you unstable. It'll make you stable.
Amen. You know, Jesus talked about that very thing in Matthew 7. In fact, he used the same term that's used here, that perfect passive participle for established or founded. Well, he talked about being founded on the rock and the house that was founded or established upon the rock.
Oh, yeah.
When the storms came, of course, it wouldn't shift. And of course, he is the rock.
Amen.
The gospel concerning who he is. And you had a cross-reference I thought was really good in Isaiah.
Yeah, let me read it. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed.
Wow.
Who he who believes in it will not be disturbed.
Wow.
And we believe that that is Christ.
There's the foundation right
there. Isn't he the cornerstone?
Amen. Wow, it's exciting.
And if our faith is in Christ through the gospel, and we believe, we'll not be disturbed.
Right. No matter what, no matter
nothing
what.
Nothing takes that away.
Amen.
Life has a lot of problems, and we can't solve all of them.
Right.
I think, but about Christ is always our foundation, our cornerstone.
Right, in Romans 8, where Paul says, nothing in creation can separate us from the love of Christ.
Yes.
That is a beautiful promise. If we're in him, squarely founded on his gospel, there's nothing that can separate us from God anymore.
Amen. So, in this passage, we learn that it is our responsibility to stay put.
That's right, that's right.
If we get wanderlust, and we start saying, oh, I'm not getting what I need or what I want,
yeah,
I've heard that.
Right.
I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to go over there.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, people make shipwreck of the faith. Over 40 years, I've seen a lot of shipwrecks.
Oh, I bet.
And people that just never come back.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're persuaded of better things concerning you, dear listeners.
Amen.
And love the faith, love the gospel, stay put.
Amen.
Founded and grounded.
That's right.
And he will present you blameless before the throne.
Amen.
Wow, because he's able to do so. He's promised to do so. We need our hearts and minds to be looking to the promises of God,
yeah,
that are found in Christ.
Amen.
And so we have here motivation for the perseverance.
Right.
And I was going to quote Dr. Peter O'Brien.
Yeah.
See, I save all these good quotes because I don't always use them in my sermon. Right. We got radio now. I can. A little more time here.
That's right.
So let me quote a great commentary on Colossians by Dr. O'Brien.
Yes. Okay?
On this verse. Quote, "But continuance is the test of reality. If it is true that the saints will persevere to the end, then it is equally true that the saints must persevere to the end."
Wow, yes.
And one of the means which the apostle uses to ensure that his readers within the various congregations of his apostolic mission do not fall into a state of false security is stir them up with warnings such as this.
Wow.
Unquote. Peter O'Brien from his commentary.
Wow, very
on
well
Colossians.
Said.
Again, God uses means.
Amen.
And as we've said many times, when it comes to the means of grace, the Word of God is central.
Right.
Luther
right.
taught that.
Yes.
And we need, as elders and preachers and teachers,
yeah,
and fathers and mothers, whatever role we have,
yes,
in the congregation, we need to make sure that everyone is taught the Word of God.
Amen.
And taught it with authority and taught it with enough detail and doctrinal content.
Yes.
That the foundation is built.
Right. That's right. Well said. If we don't have that, people's faith is really built on sand, of course, that Jesus talks about. And
well,
that foundation
is rolled away by these TV preachers.
That's right. Amen.
Who just want to make them feel good. Now, you mentioned Matthew 7.
Yeah.
I was thinking of this, too, because Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven."
Right.
"But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven."
Yes.
"Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Mm-hmm. And I will declare, I never knew you."
Wow. How terrifying.
They're not grounded.
Yeah. That's right.
They're going by experiences.
Yeah. Amen.
Or miracles or things they do. You see TV preachers claiming to do all these things.
Yeah.
But what is the right foundation? Verse 24, Matthew 7. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them,"
yes,
"may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock."
Mm.
"And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall. It had been founded on the rock." That's what our verse here
wow.
is saying.
Yes. You know,
stable, Bob, steadfast, not shifting.
Right.
Founded on the rock.
You know, as you're reading that, I'm thinking about how high a view of Scripture that should give us, because Jesus says that the rock there are His words. We can't divorce Christ from His word.
No.
His word reveals who He is, His character, who He is, what He's done. And so to live inconsistently, either in disbelief or in disobedience to His word, means that we have nothing to do with Him, ultimately, if that's the state that we end up
yeah,
in.
Yeah, they were relying on miracles or things that they did
right.
that seemed to be supernatural,
yeah,
assuming it must be from God. But notice He says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them." As I was saying earlier, think about this.
Yeah.
To hear the teachings of Christ, which also includes His apostles,
right,
who teach because Christ commissioned them to.
Amen.
That's the Great Commission.
Yeah.
Teaching them to observe whatsoever I commanded you. So Christ and His apostles. To hear something and to act on those things that you heard
yeah.
requires rational comprehension.
Right, right.
Okay.
That's right.
Don't let anybody fool you by saying, well, this is beyond the mind. This is some deeper spiritual reality.
Exactly. Well said, right?
And so they have some non-defined blind leap of faith.
Yeah.
That they think is from God.
Yep.
But they can't tell you why they're leaping or where.
Yeah, exactly. Where are they leaping to?
Well, usually it's dependent on the culture they grew up in.
That's right.
And if they were Hindu, they'd have a Hindu leap of faith.
Yeah.
That's not what Jesus said.
Right.
Here's these words, statements with meaning, yeah, with definition, understandable by rational beings that are able to be acted upon in faith.
Amen.
That's how we build on the rock.
That's right.
The faith, which is the gospel that Paul said, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven.
Wow.
Which I, Paul, became a minister. So by the nature of the gospel, it is to be preached, wow, everywhere to everyone.
Wow. And so here Paul says that he was made a minister. And so there again we have God was the agent who made Paul his minister. And so a lot of times in this verse, I guess a couple of times, we see a relationship between human responsibility and God's sovereignty. God is the one who establishes believers, and yet we're responsible to continue in the faith. And we, yeah, shouldn't balk at that. That's often what we see in Scripture, what we call compatibility. This doctrine where, yes, God is sovereign. In fact, if he doesn't act, no one will be saved. And yet there is responsibility for those who truly believe.
Oh, yeah.
And one passage I was going to just cite to show God's sovereignty in our salvation is Philippians 1:6, where Paul says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." The day of Christ Jesus, of course, being his second advent, the day of the Lord.
And, amen.
He's confident that God will, in fact, take believers and will establish them and make them perfect until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they will not depart from the faith. And Jesus promised that in John 10:27-28. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And
amen.
No one can snatch them out of his hand, because the Father has given the Son these sheep." And so it's very beautiful to see God is sovereign. He's going to keep his sheep, but at the same time, one of the means or tools that God uses to keep his sheep, the primary tool, is Scripture and the warnings in Scripture.
Yeah.
Just as you had given that wonderful analogy of the sign in the elevator shaft that was missing its elevator, that sign in Scripture, the elect end up heeding. By God's power, yeah, they will heed it.
It puts the fear of God in us.
It does. That's
okay.
Right.
So, dear listeners, as we're closing here,
yeah,
to reiterate, we pray that every one of you will have a hunger to know and understand the truth of the gospel.
Amen.
The teachings of the Bible. What did Christ and his apostles say?
Yeah.
Understand it so well that you and I can act on it.
Yeah.
And build on the rock.
Amen.
All of the rest of stuff is sand. And when the storm comes, the house will collapse.
Wow.
But we're persuaded that you do believe the gospel and will stand.
Amen.
By God's grace.
Amen. Very well said. Well, Bob, I know we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We both want to remind all of you out there that are listening that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, it sure is fun talking about these great doctrines, and I look forward to pressing on in verse 24 with you next time.
Amen.
We want to remind all of you out there, as it says in Philippians 1:27, to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.